Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be a part of Sheffield's new radio station. Call us on 281-4492 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This is Sheffield Live.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops. I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippett Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes, love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield, it's lovely. Great place.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads we have to walk are winding, and all the lights that lead us there are blinding. About you now.
Hello and welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. I'm Oliver Dixon.
I'm Bradley Middleton.
I'm Lewis Wright.
How is everybody? It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been
a
while.
It feels like a while anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
Far too hot to go in the studio last week.
Yeah, roasting.
Yes. It's a lot more cooler outside today. We're a bit of a nice gentle breeze.
Yeah, we're not just going to be panting into the microphones.
No, it's not going to be like that.
And water.
We've got an interview to play very shortly, which we'll get into. But the first two songs, Oasis' Wonderwall, which has become England's adopted song for this year's World Cup by the looks of it, with it being played after every England game with a win, with the crowd singing along.
Well, it's a crowd pleaser, isn't it?
Everyone always knows it. Did you know that Noel Gallagher actually sat on the wall outside the studio to record the acoustic guitar that you hear at the start?
Yeah.
So that was recorded outside without a single bit of wind picked up.
So is that the Wonderwall then?
That's probably where they got it from.
Oh, okay.
Must have done it intentionally.
Yeah.
And Def Leppard's photograph taken from the album Pyromania. Def Leppard performing at Sheffield Arena just on Tuesday, celebrating 50 years together.
Oh, mad.
Amazing.
50 years, still going nice and strong, and I'm sure they won't give up. It's nice to see Sheffield music royalty still going
Definitely.
Strong. Never forgetting their roots. Despite the fact they actually conquered America first before the UK.
They did, yeah.
A British band conquering America. It's like over-revising for an exam.
Yeah.
That's the music equivalent of. But without further ado, we are going to get into this interview, which will take some time, but I'm sure it's a good interview. Our very own Chris has produced it and sent it along. And it is about a girl called Alice, apparently. So we'll let you enjoy this interview.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. And we have film director and actress. We have Tristan Lorraine and Tegan Grace Muggeridge. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you so much for having us.
Hi, Chris. Hello, Sheffield.
So how are you guys doing? How are you both doing?
Yeah, good.
No, good. Come to Sheffield a lot for the documentary film festival. So great town. Love it up there.
So I want to ask you, give us a bit of background. Tell us a bit about yourselves.
Ladies first.
Okay, so I'm a young actress who started performing when I was probably about 5, and I just fell in love with it, you know, always performing at home. I trained at the British Theatre Academy and Young Screen Collective in London, and from there I got an agent and then auditioned for a film, and that happened to be Tristan was directing it. And
you did the Warner Brothers one.
Yeah, I also got into a Warner Brothers feature called A Christmas Story Christmas. It was my first project I got into, filmed in Bulgaria, which is a really great experience. That was directed by Clay Katis, a fantastic journey on that project. And then I got into a short film with Simon Callow about anti-bullying in sport, directed by Tristan. And then we sort of collaborated and I joined Fact Not Fiction Films, helping him develop films. And yeah, then here we are on A Girl Called Alice, made this fantastic short, raising awareness of mobile phone theft in London, because there's such an increase in phones being stolen today. And over 117,000 were stolen in 2024. So we felt like it was really important to raise awareness of it. And yes.
My background's a little bit different. I was an airline captain and in 2006, I was exposed to toxic chemicals. Basically, when you're on an airplane, the air you breathe comes from the engines, and I breathed this stuff in and I got sick. And I went from doing the Ironman triathlon to unable to run a mile in 6 months. I thought, hey, I need to tell my story because this is not right. So I went to Raindance and the National Film Television School, and I said, hi, I'm a bus driver in the sky and now I want to make films. So I met Elliot Grove at Raindance and he said, oh, you're in the right place. And so he helped train me up. And then I made a documentary that triggered two calls for a public inquiry on the issue of air quality on airplanes. And I thought, oh, this is good. And here we are 20 years later, still making films on public interest issues. And this is this short film that we just made, A Girl Called Alice, is by far the most ambitious short film that we've ever made. And that's in part... Chris, because we want to make a heist film and we want to cast Tegan in that heist film. And it's a very ambitious big feature film. So we wanted to make a film with the same DOP, the same crew, the same post-production work phase, same cameras, lenses and everything, just to show this is kind of what it will look like and to give you a little feel for it. So that's kind of how it all came about, Chris.
I mean, I've seen the film and it's a great watch, by the way. And I want to say thank you for sharing me the film. It's also very hard hitting as well. I mean, especially with what is going on with today, like say with phones, mobile phones and that. I mean, it's unbelievable how true to life you actually caught it, and it's a brilliant watch. I mean, I don't want to spoil too much into it for our listeners because it's a great film, and I do recommend for everybody to watch it because it's true life. It's really happening today, unfortunately.
Yeah, one of the funny stories of making the film, Chris, is we're on Westminster Bridge and we're just getting ready to do some filming, and you've got the Met Police there standing beside us, you know, to make the public, you know, feel reassured. And my cinematographer, Ed White, incredible guy, and I worked with him for over 10 years. So he's got so much initiative that I'm talking to the policeman about what we're about to film, and he's kind of watching the clock and he's like moving on and he's starting to do a technical rehearsal because the director's speaking to the Met Police. So he's starting to rehearse, and in that rehearse, the girl snatches the phone and the policeman I'm talking to just like went for it. And I said, no, it's okay. She's an actress. And he goes, oh, and you could see like the heart rate going. He said, but it looks so real. He said, that's exactly how it happens. And I said, oh, well, that's good. So that was kind of a funny moment on the film that, you know, we were trying to be authentic. So
we were grateful to be able to collaborate with Crime Stoppers on that and sort of integrating what happens with all the research that they and the knowledge they have into the script. They helped us on the script on that. Yeah.
Yeah, they were really invaluable. Crime Stoppers, incredible. Met Police, the council, you know, to make a film like this, you know, we're not a studio. And to be able to film in places like Trafalgar Square is really, really challenging. And any filmmaker who watches this film will hopefully appreciate how difficult it is, because when you're Tom Cruise and you're in a studio, you just block off the whole square and you're in total control. For us, we've got limited amount of time. It's costing an absolute fortune to do. Yeah. You can't use the drone. You're using a helicopter as well. And you've got to hope that logistically it all works out. So it was really, really challenging. And you can only do that, Chris, with an amazing crew and amazing cast. That everybody's got everybody's back. There's people are really on their top game because every second really counts, especially when you're filming in the winter when there's limited daylight and it's really cold. And, you know, it's challenging.
Yeah. I want to ask you, Tegan and Tristan, we'll start with you, Tegan, first. I mean, who were your main influences? And also, if there's anybody that you could work with in the near future, who would it be and why?
Well, that's a really good question because there's quite a few people. But I'd probably say an inspirational writer and director I admire is probably Greta Gerwig, because I just love how she portrays, you know, women and powerful characters through her narrative. And she provides such a like emotional authenticity in her everything she does. Like I love the Barbie movie. I'd love to collaborate with her on a project. We're actually writing a film about lobular breast cancer, trying to raise awareness of the disease, because it's the second most common type of breast cancer. And I want to raise awareness of the tragic illness because there's no treatment for it, which is really shocking. And it's affected an incredible lady, Dr. Susan Michaelis, who's Tristan's wife, who we sadly lost to the disease last year. It's quite close to Tristan and I's hearts. So I'd love to work with her, and also Kate Winslet as well. I know she's just had a recent directorial debut that I went to the screening of, which was fantastic.
Go on, Tristan.
No, I was going to say, you know, there's so many incredible filmmakers and so many magical moments. It's such an amazing industry to be in. You know, like when people sit down for the first time and watch films like Interstellar or The Shawshank Redemption or whatever, I mean, it's just such amazing experience in life. And some of those people out there are just absolutely incredible. And obviously, you know, we're We're an independent production company with very limited resources compared to others. But ultimately, as I mentioned before, it really comes down to the crew and our team. We call them like special forces team because we work on a really small unit and we achieve great things. There isn't the hierarchy that often comes on a big studio film. Here, it's a small film and you've really got to get on with it. Yeah. And I think that team building, as well as making a film that entertains people and educates people on an important issue as in A Girl Called Alice, that comradeship you have is priceless. You know, those are memories and moments. You're like, and also, you know, like somebody like Tegan, who I've worked with in several films, you know, it's not that she's just not just that she's a good actress, amazing actress, but she's actually a really amazing human being. And, you know, to work with people like that is just a real, you know, it's a real privilege.
And I want to say, Tegan, I want to say thank you for sharing that with me, your story about breast cancer. I mean, I would love to give you a platform and help raise awareness for that. So I would love to do that for you. So please keep in touch after this interview. I'll give you details later on. So, I mean, for anybody that wants to break into acting or directing, how difficult is it? And also, what advice would you give to our listeners?
Well, after directing my first project, Swiped Illusion, it was such an incredible experience to get my teeth into directing from a young age and to be able to put it on its feet, especially. I'd say that, you know, it can be challenging getting your own work out there as a young person in the industry. But the most important thing is to know yourself and keep persevering, keep putting in the hard work, keep writing, creating, connecting, going to lots of events, and keep those connections because they're going to be the most important thing in your career, the people you meet. And I always think it's not about the destination, but it's about the journey of how you get there. So just keep going and following your dreams. And
Tegan always has a really good way of summarizing it. When we're on set, she always tells everybody three words they all need to remember.
And they are improvise, adapt, and overcome.
And that's how we make films. Improvise, adapt, overcome. Because every day you're on set, it's not going to go as you thought it would go. And it's how you respond to that that's going to make you as a filmmaker.
And there's going to be a controversial question that I want to ask you, but if you don't want to answer it, it's completely fine. Unfortunately, AI is now becoming more prominent in creative industries. How do you feel about using AI?
So we use AI in the office for office tasks. You know, like if you want to say, we want to film in this location, please list us all the hotels that exist in that town. And it's really useful for jobs like that. But in the film itself, we are really proud that A Girl Called Alice is the first short film in the world to be now accredited with the Human Made logo. So Human Made is a new initiative that's just been launched at the Cannes Film Festival, where an organization will watch your film. And then if it's totally AI free, at the beginning of the film, you get the AI image, and then in the end credits, you'll get a serial number. And as a film production company, been going 20 years, it's about people. It's about creating good stories as people. And we as a company, and it's a choice for everybody in the industry to decide which side of the fence they want to be on. But we believe actors should be real people, and we believe everything should be as real as possible. And so we're really in that camp. Other people want to go totally in the AI camp, and that's fair enough. But at the end of the day, we're human, and we should tell stories about humans made by humans.
Yeah, I think it's really important to keep that human element in any production and, yeah, stay true to the heart of why we're doing it, yeah.
I mean, it's quite frightening, really, because, I mean, I saw a trailer with the late, great Mel Kilmer, and, I mean, brilliant actor he is. And they used his likeness and his voice in the film. I mean, I don't know how much he is in the film, but it's actually quite frightening that they're bringing actors like that into this film and using their likeness and the voice. And It's just frightening what we can do in the future, I think.
Wow, I think it's frightening what we can do right now, today. You know, it's if you think of what we are aware of, that's only a microscopic element of the technology that's currently available that hasn't filtered out to the mass media yet.
Yeah.
So it is frightening. I think it's also frightening from a crime point of view, and our film is about crime. You know, when people phone you, it's not going to be long until you, how are you actually going to know, is that the person you think calling, or is this an AI-generated person who's asking you for information? You know, it's going to happen really, really soon, where you're going to get a call from somebody saying, we're so-and-so, or I'm your brother, and it will sound just like your brother or sister or whatever, but it's not going to be. So, you know, it is frightening. You know, do you want your girlfriend to be just an AI image on the wall that agrees with you, or do you want to be with a human being that's got real emotions who's going to challenge you? I'd rather be with a human being.
Definitely. And, you know, I 100% agree with you on that. So, yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable how technology has come so far. And, you know, it's just only going to get better and better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but ultimately, you know, in medical worlds and stuff, I think AI does have a place in that, you know, for scanning, like, you know, scanning images, looking for cancer or doing things like that. I think there is, it's useful in certain areas. But anyway, we're in the business of filmmaking, and we've decided that our film is the first film ever to be human made, and we're proud of that. And also for us as filmmakers to have our film premiere at the Raindance Film Festival, which is the biggest independent film festival in Europe, is such an honor for us. And I think it's also an honor that the first human made officially recognized film will screen at Raindance as well. It's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. Really grateful.
Well, I want to say congratulations on the film. I mean, I've seen the film. It's fantastic. And I mean, it's a brilliant watch. It's called A Girl Called Alice. It's a crime drama based on, like, stealing phones. And also, it just goes to show how realistic. And it's a hard-hitting topic as well, because, like I said before, it's unfortunately happening in today's world, which is a shame, really. And to get more awareness of that, and I mean, I want to say thank you for doing this, because I would love to help out with this. And to get the film out there and make it more aware, it's a great opportunity to do that. So thank you.
And we've also got a special treat for all your listeners. So the film screening on Saturday, the 20th of June, at 4:15 p.m. at the biggest independent film festival in Europe, in London, at The View Piccadilly. If one of your listeners wants to be there at that world premiere, all they need to do is contact us at
hq@fatnotfictionfilms.com.
And the first person to send in the request, they're the lucky winner.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much. And I want to talk to you about Behind the Scenes. I mean, it's a 15-minute film. So was that always the plan, or was there a plan that you wanted to make it longer or shorter?
I think the 15 minutes was the plan, but whilst we were filming, we were like, well, we wish we made this into a feature, because there's so much more we could have explored in terms of the story and the plot and the characters. And I feel like delving into that, I mean, who knows, maybe we will. We want to base A Girl Called Alice to be made into a feature about a heist, so hopefully we can, you know, integrate the story into that.
Behind the scenes is all the complexities of making films in winter in London, extremely challenging, you know, and you're using helicopters, you're using fast moving police cars, you're surrounded by the public, you know, there's endless risk assessments. You know, my assistant producer Freya, you know, was forever doing more and more risk assessments all the time, because it's a dynamic situation. So yeah, very challenging, but great. And it was
great to be surrounded by such a fantastic cast and crew. We had Antonio Akil, who was in Slow Horses, and then Rita Romani, who was the female police officer. Such a fantastic cast. Tommy May, brilliant. So yeah, thank you to all of them as well for listening.
But, you know, can't thank enough the community and also the people in London, you know, the council, everybody who made this possible. And also the film opens with the most epic song from The Clash, London Calling. So a big shout out to the band for letting us use that music in our film. Really appreciate that.
And I mean, how long did it take for you to put the film together from concept to the actual film into the finished product? I mean, how long did it take to put together?
Well, we filmed it last Christmas, and then we had a few pickups because we thought, you know, once we got it in the edit suite, we were thinking, oh, there's a few little missing bits that we wanted to pick up on. But it, all in all,
about 6 months from the let's do the film to finished product. So, which isn't bad going, really.
Mm.
That's amazing. I mean, it's incredible, you know. And I've got to say, it's such a great... It's just filmed like a feature film. The quality, I mean, I don't want to give too much away because I want people to watch it, but I mean, like...
No, I appreciate that. But a lot of this also, we'd like to really thank Canon. Mm. So, like, you know, some of these scenes when you're chasing people in the streets of London... You want it to look like a studio film, but you've got to make it as portable as possible because you can't be using a vehicle, you know, to as a steady cam, like a filming vehicle. You can't use a drone. You can use a helicopter sometimes, but not at low level. So Canon and DJI, DJI are renowned for their kind of drones and stabilization platforms. You know, we went to them and they really came good. And Canon with the CNE prime lenses and the state-of-the-art equipment, it was they really helped us, you know, having that technical level of expertise. When you say to them, this is what we want to do, and you know, they've got technical solutions, so that was awesome.
I mean, is there a chance that we'll be able to see the characters again some point in the near future, or is it just a one-off at the moment?
No, it's a good point, because when we made the film, the whole purpose of the film really was we want to make this heist film, and we want to cast Tegan in this heist film. So we wanted to also show everybody in the future, investors or whatever, this is what we can do with this cinematographer, these camera systems, this post-production workflow, and all of this crew. So that's kind of, it's a showreel for the heist film. So quite a few of the actors in this film are already cast in the heist film. So
a few characters may be returning, I can say that without giving too much away.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll leave it there then. We'll leave it there, definitely. But I want to say it's a great film, and I want to say thank you for sharing it with me. So it's currently in festivals. So how can people get to watch it after festivals? Will it be on digital platforms or direct to DVD, possibly?
Well, we would love for it to be potentially for a TV slot, potentially on BBC in the future.
And also we're going to approach UK cinema chains to see if they will screen it as a entertaining film and an educational piece ahead of like a feature film. And we've done that in the past. We did a film about dementia that screened before Downton Abbey, and we did a film about mental health and PTSD in the military that screened before Dunkirk. So we're hoping this film will find a cinema chain somewhere will think, actually, this is quite a good little intro before a feature film to educate people on this very interesting, important public health issue. Public, you know, I suppose it is a health issue. The stress that you go through of having your phone nicked.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that needs to be more aware of. I mean, because unfortunately, like I said before, it's still happening in today's world, and people need to be more aware, and let's hope we can get you there. I mean, that's what we're going to do.
But also, anybody who's listening to your program, next time they go to London or even in Sheffield, if they're more phone conscious and one less phone is stolen because of this conversation we've had today, then the film's achieved its purpose. So we're very grateful to you, Chris, for giving the film and the issue a platform.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chris, for having us.
I appreciate that, Tristan. Thank you, Tegan. I appreciate that. I want to ask you, so what's next for you two, man? Have you got any upcoming projects that you're currently working on that you can tell us about, or is it all secretive at the moment?
We do have a few projects in development. One of them is the feature I mentioned earlier about lobular breast cancer. We also have another feature film in development. It's a rom-com drama, coming-of-age drama, will hopefully be made in the next year.
Starring Tegan Grace Muggeridge.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, watch this space, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
So do you also have social media where people can follow you on, like X, formerly known as Twitter, Facebook, Instagram?
Yeah, so you can follow A Girl Called Alice film on A Girl Called Alice film on Instagram, or check out for updates on our website, agirlcalledalicefilm.com.
And if you have had your phone stolen, you know, contact Crime Stoppers, contact your local police force, and also EE have amazing information on their website about how to be phone safe.
Let's get this out there. I mean, we definitely need to get this more aware. So let's do that for you guys. And again, I want to say thank you so much for covering this topic. And my final question for you is, what would you like to say to our listeners who is currently listening right now? What would you like to say to them?
I'd love to say, stay safe on the streets. Whatever you do, don't leave your phone out, and make sure it's always in your bag. And always keep a lookout, because they can be very sneaky. They can be very sneaky. You know, they work together in pairs. They collaborate, try and distract you. So just be alert and be aware. And if any of you need to reach out to someone, you can contact EE, as Tristan mentioned, on their website.
Yeah. And on something totally different, the World Cup's coming up shortly. Come on, England.
Definitely. Hopefully we'll do better this time, fingers crossed. Tegan, yeah. Tristan, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Chris. You. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank
Bye.
You. Take care.
The interview there about the short film called A Girl Called Alice. Thank you to Tristan and Tegan for taking time to speak to our Chris. Their message is very important. Stay safe with phones. Losing your phone is one of the worst feelings you could ever experience.
Yeah.
No matter where you are, you could be in your house and it could be fallen under the sofa or something. It's still panic. Oh, yeah. But outside, it's always, can you ring my phone? But outside, it's even worse. You don't, like, in a big open space.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you again to Tristan and Tegan, and go watch the film if you can. It's a short 15-minute film, but with high importance. Going to jump into some music shortly, but I want to talk about a certain highly, highly anticipated game. It's finally been confirmed for pre-order. Okay. I'm talking about GTA 6. It's actually happening. There's no delays or anything.
Finally, no delays.
I won't believe that until November. I won't believe
until
it.
It's actually out.
Yeah.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
No, I was delighted with the news. Just happened last week, actually. Bang on a week ago.
Hmm.
The price isn't as... It's still quite pricey. Yeah. Standard edition is about £70. Ultimate edition, about £100. That's better than I thought it'd be, actually. Just for the standard edition, especially.
Yeah, kind of. But I sort of feel like the standard edition isn't a standard edition. It feels like a step under a standard edition. And the deluxe edition seems to be the standard for this. Because you're just missing loads of stuff from the in-game world if you don't buy it.
I mean, is it worth paying the extra £30? I think so. I mean, just make sure you've got plenty of money saved up.
Yeah, but I just don't get why they didn't just price it at... I think maybe it's 90 and then just say, oh yeah, this is what it costs... And because people would pay that, like I would pay that at least. But yeah, it just seems a little bit bizarre that they're having an option where it's like, yeah, you get some of the game.
I look forward to November time. It's not if you think about it, it's not that far away. We're in July now. Only 4 months left to wait, and then people will just call. Well, I imagine a lot of people are calling sick at work.
Oh, 100%.
Surely bosses will realise saying they're not actually sick.
Oh,
I know what they're doing.
The bosses are probably called in anyway, to be fair.
Yeah. So. Workplace closed for release day.
True. I feel like it's going to be a thing. Because there was a thing when The Force Awakens came out, the newest, the original of the new Star Wars trilogy, that loads and loads of people called in sick because of it. And I feel like we're going to definitely get a repeat here.
Yeah. Definitely.
One thing, it is a shame though, the game's not releasing physically.
No.
Weird decision, that.
It's a very bizarre decision. I partially think... I mean, obviously they'll save money by not having to create the physical disc, but I think it might be to do with how much demand they're expecting for pre-order. Because if, like, you know, millions and millions of people are doing it, how would they be able to ship out all those discs to people?
Yeah, it'd be a lot of a lot of work. But we're going to get into a relevant song to this. It's the song that started it all off with the... first trailer of the game, which feels like a million years ago now.
Yeah.
I am talking about Tom Petty's Love Is a Long Road, and I'm just going to let you listen to it, the song that started it all off.
Open the music box. Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
Tom Petty and Love Is a Long Road here on Communities Live. The first trailer was in December 2023. Yeah. So 2.5 years ago, which feels like long, long before.
Feels like forever ago.
Like forever.
Yeah. GTA 6 has been a long road.
Yeah. I'm not. I imagine this is going to be on one of the radio stations, that song.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised if it's not.
Definitely.
And I'd be interested to see which other songs get added and which music stations actually have. GTA is quite known for having some good songs on all their games.
I wonder who they're going to get to host the radio stations, because they got like a few celebrities to do it and stuff before.
GTA 5 had Kenny Loggins as the rock DJ. Cara Delevingne as for the pop radio.
Lee Scratch Perry for their reggae station.
And I think there was a rapper called Flying Lotus who did like the rap station. I could be wrong. I've not played GTA 5 in a while, so my my memory's not great with the some of the stations.
There was like not doing radio stations, but we had there was like the Happy Mondays and you know various comedians and some of the older ones as well. So
like Ricky Gervais was in GTA 4.
Phil Collins was in was it San Andreas he was in?
I can't remember.
It was either three GTA 3 or San Andreas.
Yeah, one of the old ones. Yeah,
because you had to rescue him as part of a mission. Going to jump into some more music in the last about 10 minutes of the show. Deep Purple have a new song out once again.
Yeah.
And we can play it because it doesn't have swearing in it. And their album Splat releases tomorrow on all platforms, CD, vinyl, you name it, it's out there. That's why they're also touring as well for that new album. And this will be the first time I've listened to this song. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, so you're going to get a bit of a live reaction.
Nice.
Without further ado, the title of this song is called Guilt Tripping. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Billy Bragg, and you're listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM.
Deep Purple of Guilt Trip in here on Communities Live. That was a great song. I was almost blown away as soon as the first riff kicked in. Right. For men who were in the late 70s, early 80s, they're still very, very strong.
Definitely.
And also a bit of a cliche, but does the phrase age is just a number come into play here? It is a bit of a cliche, but they're still just like what they were 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Still got the same riff you can recognise straight away. You can just listen to a note and be like, yeah, that's Deep Purple. That's just Deep Purple. Or any of their iconic keyboard riffs. But yes, Splat releases tomorrow, and I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
Why should I not get it?
I'll have a listen when it's out.
Yeah. And last few minutes of the show, we do little spoiler alert. We have another band releasing an album next week. I'm talking about the Rolling Stones, who also have a new song out, which we'll finish with in just a few minutes' time. And yeah, it's gone quick again, hasn't it?
Always flies.
Yeah, especially the that long interview as well. We can just sit back and relax, and all of a sudden, oh, it's this time.
Yeah,
so you turn your head away from the screen, and then you're like, oh, we're back on.
Yeah, exactly.
At least it stayed cool. We have working aircon.
It feels quite luxurious today, to be fair.
We were never going to go last week. We were never going to come in last week. It was taking the mick a bit.
About 33 degrees.
Pushing 34.
Around there.
I was getting a tattoo anyways. Yeah. So I was fine. Doors open, fan, all the works. Shout out to Jason at Wild Lotus Tattoo and Piercings in Beighton for doing my tattoo. Highly recommend him if you live around the Beighton area or just the S20 postcode. Or just around Crystal Peaks, we'll call it that. That might be a bit more of a recognisable thing for people to identify. And we are at the end of the show. I hate saying that phrase.
It just comes and goes so quickly, doesn't it?
5 to 1 every Thursday, I always dread. I'm like, oh, I have to say this. And
we'll try and come up with a cool new ending slogan for next week.
Yeah, like try and be as positive as we can, even though I hate when the show ends.
Yeah.
So has anyone got anything planned for the next week?
I'm actually off to Barcelona this weekend.
Barcelona.
It's just for one kind of full day, but... just visiting some family. And it's going to be really exciting. I think it's going to be really hot when we're there. I think it's like 34.
So just like last week.
And then we come back and the heat started in the UK again.
Yeah, we'll do a heat wave next week.
Yeah.
It'll be about 28 I've seen on the Apple weather app anyways. I haven't checked the Met Office.
Yeah, so I might be looking like a crispy bit of bacon when you see me next week. But it'll be lots of fun. And, I'm looking forward to trying some Spanish food. I've not had much Spanish food before, so that's all we're
doing. Spanish food is very nice. Spanish beer is also very nice, too.
I've not had much Spanish beer. I've had Estrella, and I really love Estrella, but other than that, I don't know. So maybe that'll be... I think maybe I'll be a typical British tourist and drink every single beer I've
just to try
there.
It.
Yeah.
What about you, Brad? Anything planned?
Nothing really much planned at the minute, no.
No, just chilling and everything, trying to keep cool.
Yeah, just taking it as it comes, really.
Interesting. I don't have too... Oh, I'll be watching the World Cup, of course. At a slightly more unforgiving time at 1 a.m. on Monday morning. I'll do my best to stay up for that.
Yeah, just pan back a few coffees.
Coffees or just caffeine. It could be a Lucozade or it could be a can of Monster or just anything.
Yeah, or an espresso martini if you still want to get on.
Or an Irish coffee.
An Irish coffee.
We are going to finish with the Rolling Stones. This song is called Jealous Lover, and I've listened to it once, and it's a fantastic song, so we're going to share it so all our listeners can be treated, because we always like treating our guests and listeners.
We don't want to make them jealous.
No, that's a great way. But it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from Bradley Middleton.
And goodbye from Lewis.
And we'll see you next week, all being well. Thank you. Yeah!
control the